The journey is our home, they sang, and that's true. The journey of faith is where we reside. And it is a journey. We are reminded again and again that none of us have arrived. None of us have completed the journey. We're all still on our way. We're all still learning, discovering, growing together in this journey of faith. And it is with joy that we are reminded that it's a journey we take together, that none of us runs this race alone. That's going to be our theme for this fall. It's a series that I'm excited about as we explore what it means to be a part of a race of a lifetime, a race of faith. Of course, the metaphor of racing is one that's used often in the Bible. There's stories about people running or racing in different moments of their lives, and we'll explore some of those lives over the next several weeks. But today I want to begin with one of those references to the metaphor that really sets us up, that provides a foundation for us for the next couple of months. And it's a scripture that's found in the book of Hebrews, a little book tucked away near the back or the end of our New Testament. We're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some attribute it to Paul. Others don't think that's likely. But regardless, it's a book that is addressed to those early Christians in the first century who were facing so many challenges in their own life of faith as they tried to live out the love of God in a world that was often apathetic, even hostile to their faith. So listen as the author writes these words from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, open our hearts and minds this day by the power of your Spirit, that as scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear your truth with joy. And let all God's people say, Amen. If you go back a little further into Hebrews chapter 11, what you discover is that the author has just finished a litany of the great saints of the church, beginning, well, at the beginning in Genesis, and carrying through so many of the men and women, the pioneers themselves, in a way, of faith, those who ran the race faithfully, successfully, in order to hand on to us, as if a runner handing a baton onto another runner in a relay race, the gift of faith, the knowledge of faith, the practice of faith, so that we too can run faithfully, successfully. And having rehearsed that litany, then the author says, so now, having been surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that clings so closely, so that we can run with perseverance the race that's set before us. That idea of the great cloud of witnesses is in fact going to be what carries us through this fall. We're going to begin next week on the 17th with the story of Abraham and Sarah, and then we're going to continue with Joseph and Esther and David and Peter and Paul and so many others who throughout Scripture learned or developed some particular value or character trait that helped them to train for the race of faith. And we're going to learn about those different values and character traits over the course of these weeks so that we can begin to think about what it means for us to train for a race that we can run with perseverance. Now, I have to confess in full disclosure that while I like the metaphor of racing, I personally am not a runner. I don't like running at all. Someone has to be chasing me with a gun before I will pick up my pace and hoof it. So it's a little bit of a foreign metaphor for me. I really wanted to make sure I understood what the author was trying to get at this week. And so I took a little time to try to dig into what the author was saying. What does it mean to lay aside every weight, every sin, so that we can run with perseverance? I was curious about those words. The word sin is perhaps more familiar to us. The Bible uses it a lot. We talk about it a lot. The Greek word harmartia is a familiar one that we understand means to miss the mark. Or more appropriately translated for this metaphor, it means to wander off the path of righteousness. So for one, running the race, it means to get off the race course somehow, to run in a different direction or the opposite direction. We've got a racetrack for this fall that's going to help us think about what it means to stay the course. I'll say more about that in just a few minutes. But I was curious about that word weight. In other translations, it says something like burden that we're supposed to lay down that might hold us back. It turns out that the Greek word there is agkos. Agkos. Isn't that a great word? It sounds like what it is. If you haven't heard it before, that's understandable because this is actually the only place in the New Testament that that word appears, agkos. And I can just imagine it. It feels like something that you carry that's heavy. It's translated sometimes or defined in certain scholars as a protuberance or an encumbrance. Aren't those great words? You can just imagine like carrying this giant heavy weight and somebody saying, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just taking my agkos out to the curb. I hope somebody will pick up my agkos and take it away. It's trash day. Agkos. What is that weight that holds us back? Well, that's part of what we're going to be exploring today in this fall. But perseverance, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. I was curious about that too. That word in Greek is hupomone. Hupomone, it's more often in the New Testament, it's a common word translated as patience or long-suffering. But here, in relationship to the context of the metaphor of a race, it's translated as perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race. Well, what does that mean, perseverance? Angela Duckworth is a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. And she and her team several years ago began to wonder, why is it that some people succeed in life at various tasks or goals and others don't? Is it DNA? Is it that some people are just born more talented or more intelligent? Or is it dumb luck? Is it the circumstances of life? Or is it some other factor entirely? And so she and her team began to research in very different populations why it was some people succeeded and others didn't. They studied contestants of the National Spelling Bee, children, to see if some would make it into further rounds of the Spelling Bee than others. They also went to West Point and studied cadets to discover why it was that some not only survived their first year of basic training, but thrived in that first year and were set up for success. They studied their own students at the University of Pennsylvania to find out why some entering freshmen with the same SAT scores would end the year with better GPAs than others. And in setting after setting, they tried to figure out what it was that was propelling some to better success, a better sense of that perseverance than others. The research that they did ended up winning her a MacArthur Genius Award and a best-selling book, which is titled by what they concluded in their research, and that is the secret ingredient is what they call grit. Grit. And they define grit with a very simple formula. Duckworth says grit is passion plus perseverance. Now, there's a number of ways that they try to track and measure what that is all about, and some of the details of that are more nuanced than we have time to explore this morning. But I want to take just a few minutes and think about that equation of passion plus perseverance. Passion, she says, is being really clear about why it is you're doing what you're doing and having an intense desire to accomplish that goal. She says, two students who show up for piano practice every week might do the same drills, the same exercise, invest the same amount of time in practice, and yet at the end of the year, one of them is going to be a far superior pianist than the other, and in large part, that's because of the passion that student brings, that there's a goal for them of seeking to be excellent, and for the other, it's just showing up to fulfill an obligation. Think about that in light of our own spiritual faith, the difference between simply showing up versus having a clear sense of passion and purpose about what we do. I'm reminded of the time a few years ago when my wife Miriam ran the Chicago Marathon for the first time, it prompted the choir director at the church where I was serving to share a story at staff meeting that day when I was sharing about Miriam. He said years before, when he was a young adult, he decided to run the Portland Marathon. And so for weeks he trained, but he really wasn't that excited about it. He really was not somebody who was that passionate about running. But nevertheless, he fulfilled the obligations of the training schedule that was required of him in order to be prepared for the race. And when the day of the race came, he was at the starting line and he took off with all the other thousands of runners in a great celebration and pomp and circumstance. And Tom said, I got about 6 miles into the run and I saw a Starbucks. And I ran in. And the startled barista, seeing him with his jersey on and his race bib, said, sir, do you want that to go? And he said, no, that's all right, I'm done. Mile 6. Tom sat and had a cup of coffee, watched everybody else go by. Tom had done the work, but he had no passion. There wasn't a clear sense of purpose for him in a goal that he was trying to accomplish. He had just shown up. His heart wasn't really in it. Well, that's a part of the ingredient for grit, but there's something else Angela Duckworth talks about. It's perseverance. Well, what is that? She says, in part, it's knowing your core purpose and then being able to maintain your focus on and your diligent work towards that core purpose despite the circumstances of what happens around you. Or to put that a different way, there's another scholar named Andrew Zolli who wrote a book a couple of years ago called Resiliency. And in his work, he talks about how resiliency is the ability to maintain core purpose and integrity despite both the positive and negative consequences or circumstances that you face in pursuing that goal. His work reminds me of the story, I know I've told it to you before, of Tommy Caldwell, the famous American rock climber who spent months and months and months unsuccessfully attempting to climb El Capitan in Yosemite Valley. And finally, somebody asked him one day, Tommy, why is it that you keep trying when you keep failing over and over and over again? And Tommy said, I'm not failing. I'm learning. I'm getting stronger and better every time. That's perseverance. That's what perseverance looks like. Perseverance recognizes that there is no path away from obstructions or negative circumstances or challenges. There is no path other than that. And as we study the lives of the great saints of faith that we inherit in Scripture, we will see again and again that these men and women were not people who popped out of the womb as perfect saints. Far from it. They were liars, adulterers, failures, people who took missteps, who found themselves off of the path again and again and again in their life, who missed the mark, who were carrying the agkos, the weight of the world around with them, sometimes a self-inflicted weight and sometimes one that they had no control over. And yet, because of their passion and their perseverance, in other words, their grit, they were able to become those saints who hand on to us the baton so that we too can run the race of faith successfully. Well, why would we want to do that? What difference does it make anyway, whether or not we run the race successfully? We're running plenty of races in our life, aren't we? Isn't there a rat race of life out there that many of us are engaged in? Why does this race even matter? Why would we invest purpose, passion, perseverance in this race? Well, I think if we take a moment to look inside and see the healing and wholeness that we seek and desire for ourselves, that God seeks and desires for us in the promise of abundant life, we realize what the goal can be, what the prize can be of running successfully the race of faith. When we look around this room and see one another, the struggles that each of us has in our lives and the lives of our loved ones, the challenges that we face, the obstacles that we seek to overcome, we recognize how important it is to be with and for one another, those who can strengthen one another in the race of faith. And that's in part dependent on how well we are focused on running that race well. And then we look out through these windows, through these doors, to the world around us and see the incredible needs of our sisters and brothers in faith, so many that live in poverty, poverty of spirit and mind, poverty of body and of community, living in situations where they are not able on their own because of the circumstances in which they find themselves to fully live as the children of God that God has created them to be, and recognize the necessity of our partnership with God to be Christ's hands and feet. And that's only possible, that's best possible, when we successfully are able to focus on the race that we are running and to run it well. As I was preparing this series, I was reminded of the story of Eric Little. Eric was born in Scotland. He represented the United Kingdom, Britain, in the 1924 Summer Olympics in Paris. Now, we might not remember somebody that long ago, almost 100 years ago, except Little was a man of profound Christian faith. And because of that, he refused to run races that were held on Sunday. And because of that, there were certain races that he was expected to medal in, expected to win, that he chose not to participate in at the Olympics. But the races that were left to him to run that were not on Sundays, he was able to win and brought home a gold medal. And it's his life that was enshrined in the movie Chariots of Fire, a testimony not only to his talent, to his passion and perseverance, but also to his faith. But when Eric Little got back to Britain after the Olympics, he said, "You know, it's been a privilege, a pleasure to have this opportunity to run for my country in Paris, to bring back a gold medal, but I have to tell you something more important. From the time I was a little lad, I've had my eyes fixed on another prize," Little said. "For all of us are running a more important race than I could have ever run in Paris. We're all running the race of faith. In that race, it's God who's handing out the medals." Well, I don't know if God's handing out medals or not, but I do know this. Together we are running a race of faith. And as a part of this congregation and community, we have a clear purpose to inform our passion as a Christ-centered, open and welcoming church on the move. What it means for us to be a body of faith supporting one another and to be a witness of Christ in this community. And so together, let us cast aside every agkos. Let us cast aside every weight, every burden, every obstacle, every obstruction, every fear of failure, everything that stands in our way of running the race together, so that as one family of faith, just as we stand ready to accompany Savannah in her journey of faith and her baptism, that we might accompany one another the days and weeks and years to come, so that we might be the light of Christ to the world. Thanks be to God.